been a long time since the war. Nobody knows how long exactly. Nobody's around anymore who lived through it. That's not the important part. The important part is the war didn't have to happen. I know it. Everyone knows it. Everyone wishes it had been prevented. So why not, I ask, just prevent it? Somebody, I would hesitate to say a friend of mine, but somebody I know, knows exactly what to do to prevent the war that has already happened, or at least so he says. I'm inclined to believe him, or should I say was inclined, will be inclined? Time travel makes things confusing. Let me start over. I was born on the 58th year. 58 years since what? Well, since we started counting. I was born in the winter, so am considered lucky for having survived as a newborn. About 10 winters and a spring in, we started numbering the days and months, so they decided my official birthday was the 18th day of the 12th month. But that's not important. Anyway, on the 84th year, in midsummer, so I guess month 7, I got a call on this thing called a phone. You know what that is? Great. Anyway, so I got a phone call from this guy I knew growing up. We were both outcasts for being smarter than we were strong, but strangely never got along. Anyway, he called me. They'll call me? It feels like the past, so I guess I'll use past tense. Anyway, I got this call from him. How I got my number, I don't know. But he calls me and says he made this thing that will solve all our problems. He says I'm the second smartest person he knows, other than himself. An uncharacteristic level of humility, frankly. And he needs a small fellow smarty to help him out. So I figure I've got nothing to lose and go and see what it is. Long story short, now I'm here. You want the long story? Well, if you say so. I met him in the field out where they say used to be the center of a city. He had several large carts full of what looked like electronic junk connected to the husk of a railroad locomotive a few hundred paces away. He was with some of the more well-known meatheads of the village, probably having enlisted them to help move his stuff. So what's this about? I asked. He'd apparently prepared a speech. Life here sucks. You know it. I know it. These idiots over here know it. Nobody else is going to fix it, so I'm making miners into my own hands. I'm going to go back in time and stop the war that ruined everything. At that point, I just sort of stared at him. Are you serious? I asked. He sighed and said, out of everyone in the world, I thought you would be the one who actually believed me. I don't even get all emotional, I said. This is time travel you're talking about, not some big fish you caught. Time travel has been a staple of science fiction since science fiction has existed. Emphasis on fiction. I have no more reason to believe you figured it out than anyone else. Sorry, he said. It's been a long day, longer than most, on account of having going back in time an hour. Sure, whatever, I said. What do you want me to do anyway? I want you to come with me and help infiltrate whatever government it is we happen to be closest to. Don't know which one? Nobody does for sure, and the machine can only take us through time, not space. So we'll end up at the spot in the past. I picked it because I'm pretty sure it was close to an important place. It's in a crater, after all. At this point, it didn't sound like he actually had a plan, so I asked, do you at least know what to do once we've identified where we are? Yes, he replied. I've scoured every available source about them before times, and I'm fairly confident we'll end up in the United States, in the Northeast, one of the states that starts with new, like New Jersey or New Hampshire or New Mexico. I bought up every American dollar I could find, and I got some nice suits made up that should make us look like we belong where we are. Sounds like you've been planning this for a while, I said. And he said, you have no idea. He had me change into one of those suits he had made, then joined the two strong men and started up the engine locomotive. Where'd you find enough diesel to use that? I asked. I did, he said. There are other things that burn well enough. Then a thick cloud of black smoke erupted out of the exhaust in the engine. It smelled so bad I thought it'd kill me. But slowly subsided into a more pleasant culinary odor. The exact mechanisms behind the time machine I was never told. I simply handed a quote-unquote portable control panel weighed down by a car battery and at least 5 circuit boards linked to my arm. The controls were straightforward enough, and I followed his instructions as he gave them me. Fans embedded in the various machines surrounding us sped up in unison, and combined with the rumbling of the nearly dead diesel engine produced a deafening cacophony. After spending enough time in the world when to suffer hearing damage, there was a blinding flash of light. As my eyes readjusted, I realized I was now indoors. I must say, I'm underwhelmed, my companion said, and I agreed. The building I ended up in seemed no better than the various shanties I'd been holed up in previously. It smelled of rotten food, and I was crawling with pests. I wondered if we'd in fact moved in space instead of time. Wasn't this supposed to be the good old days when everything was so pristine and clean? It's one saving grace, I'll say, is that it was the coolest building I'd ever been in. temperature wise. After all, I've been living in a desert where even on the coldest days you'd break a sweat. Doesn't really matter though. This will be a temporary base camp. Let's find the government center as soon as possible. Agreed. Quickly enough, we found some stairs up to the outside and finally saw something impressive. All around us were giant buildings with people pouring in and out that seemed to reach all the way to the sky. There were huge, smooth streets covered in shiny cars that actually moved and weren't full of rats. Wasn't a single hut made out of dirt and garbage to be seen. I can tell you don't find it impressive, but to me it was wild as well, been a different planet. We asked around where exactly it was we were, but each time dismissed with a, shall we say, colorful expression. And eventually we stumbled upon a large, white, important-looking building. I believe this is what we're looking for, my friend said. What you're gonna want to do is flash the fake ID in your pocket, walk straight behind me, don't look at anything, and act like you're supposed to be here. Sounds difficult, I said. You'll be fine, he replied. Just follow my lead. Surprisingly enough, it worked. Nobody batted an eye as we were led through security. Why they just let us through, I asked. We look like we belong. No, shush. We did this 2 more times, each time working without a hitch. Maybe look into that. We settled in a small room that wasn't being used and locked ourselves in. He opened one of the suitcases we had brought with us and revealed it to be chock full of wires and circuitry. This will allow us to listen to their secure radio transmissions and, if necessary, jam or override them. We'll take turns listening while the other person sleeps. The other suitcase is the sleeping bag. I'll take the first turn to listen if you like. So for the next 6 days, we took turns listening and sleeping, but there seemed nothing out of the ordinary, although there was a palpable tension that increased over time.
Alert,
it said.
ICBM launch order received. Verify and prepare for launch. DEFCON 1.
Or something like that, at least. One by one, the voices we've been hearing the past week each verified and said they're ready to end the world. This is the moment we've been waiting for, my companion said. Do something. I turned the radio and announced to it, cannot verify, stand down. There was a brief silence, then someone said,
Speaker, identify yourself.
I replied, this is God speaking. Don't do this, you're being naughty. The radio replied in turn,
Security communications breached, cannot confirm legitimacy of launch order, stand down missiles, security lockdown, find the infiltrators.
I turned to him and said, we're definitely screwed in the immediate term, sorry about that, but on the bright side, we did save the world. So we just walked out the corridor and awaited our fates. Some big burly guys handcuffed me and brought me here. That's the whole story. You don't believe me? Well, you don't have to. But remember, you have me to thank for continuing to live in a world of cars and skyscrapers instead of radioactive mud huts and metal husks.